What were those coffee dates like? And what was, because there was the toolkit that you had, and what was that included in that?
We had one outing at a local coffee shop, and it actually lasted 3 hours, I think, three or four hours, because the conversation came really natural where we didn't even use the prompt questions to engage with each other. It was just kind of like, so what do you think? And that propelled conversation forward in a lot of different ways, from saying that I would say that I'm really engulfed in the creative community and I hadn't met him before and I felt like I should have, especially when Antonio started talking about what he does, these impersonations and things like that. I was excited, and he would share with me the responses he gets from some of his work. And I was like, yo, those are think pieces, right? It really gets people activated and agitated. He's like, you know, he sometimes doesn't get the responses he wants. And I felt that if another demographic or if the demographic he was reaching was broader, that it would spark more in-depth conversation. Because what I notice in the city, although there are a lot of great creatives, there's this, I don't know if it's anxiety of becoming your art becoming politicized. There is very political art, and then there's art that's not politicized, and art that a lot that some artists are like, don't even, it doesn't even come from their full identity. And it felt like what he talked about came from his full identity, particularly as a Black man. We talked about masculinity and gender roles. So it started with maybe conversations around race, but really expanded to just identity on a whole and how those intersect with race in general.
Was there anything about art that you learned about that surprised you through the conversation?
I mean, his one piece where he had, it was, I think, at Goat Farm, the installation where it was like an old school car and these two white kids who, I mean, basically cultural assimilation, right? Or mocking what they view as Black culture and appropriating it. And they were just there in the middle of the space. And it was interesting to hear how people interacted with the props or the artists or the characters themselves. And so to even find out that something like that existed, I was like, oh, I'd brought the whole team out. This is, if that exhibit, I imagine, made white folks in particular uncomfortable. And to me, that is an interesting space to be in, to see that, like, this is how we see you all seeing us. And I'm here watching that. Like, that would have been really interesting to experience. And not that I would have necessarily been comfortable with that, but we have to push ourselves to be uncomfortable at times without feeling unsafe, but to push dialogue and push action a little bit more. We have to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. So I learned that those exhibits exist, and I hope he does more of them because I'd love to come.
So I guess moving to the artist, what was something that you gleaned from this conversation?
I think a lot of it was just learning that there is kind of a network that's open-minded, that's willing to accept and embrace like the almost slanderous artworks and installations that, a conceptual artist can come up with. Zora, she told me about, a lot of the programs that she's worked with, some of the things that she's even started up in the city to bring awareness to certain communities who don't necessarily have access to. I mean, for instance, when you go in certain communities, the county hasn't even taken the time to put in sidewalks. And that is a very obvious statement to that community that we don't want pedestrians, walking through this neighborhood, and yet you would still see the grass is trodden down because people still have to get to where they want. And so talking with her, it showed me that there are networks that are willing to take a chance just to bring awareness to individuals. And it could be, now that awareness is not just about the racial disparity or different things, but just in simple facts, that people don't have access to.
Well, I mean, it sounds that both of you had pretty profound experience, and with Percolate, it's 100 different pairs, so we can hope that 99 other pairs had a similar experience. I mean, I think this is true for a lot of cities now, and I mean, it's true on the internet with the algorithms. It's also, how we have this huge income gap in Atlanta, and there's a lot of segmentation of our population, and there's a lot of bubblifying our lives. So, do you all feel like that's very much, was that the purpose of these conversations, was to connect people from different groups together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also not only to bring together different facets of Atlanta together, but to make it like an intentional space. And I think to sort of break down the anxiety that some people have as artists talking about activism and vice versa, I think that both sides tend to feel like they're not qualified to speak on the other's half. So like the artists didn't necessarily think that they had any right to talk about activism, and the activists didn't think that they had the qualifications to speak about art. And so sort of setting it up where they have to, and there were questions that were crafted by the host committee to sort of guide the conversation, necessitates that they have to break that down.
I think that's interesting that you said anxiety, because I think that's true for a lot of people, that there is a fear of leaving your bubble.
And I think it depends on what the conversation is about. So yes, with race, absolutely there's a lot of anxiety because you get quoted, it goes viral, now you're being shamed online, you know, did I use the proper grammar? Maybe this is my standpoint now and it changes later and then you get called out again. So I think that actually the internet has changed our confidence with having conversation, because there's a lot of just pushback that comes when you might have said something wrong or you changed your mind about something.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems in the South is that the anxiety is brought on by the institutions. You know, I think for me, I'm anxious to go out and to try to be an activist because I am in a formal setting, is the gallery, the four walls. It usually has to be structured. You know, if you do like performance or installation works, it has to be regulated. There's like this kind of barrier for me where, you know, my work only reaches people who can get to that space, mm-hmm. you know, or can get to that event. It creates within the artists that uncertainty of being able to actually go and talk to real people.
Do you ever feel anxious about what kind of statement that you make?
It's almost like, I mean, I do, but I say it's personal because it's like sending a text, you know, where you reread the text 5,000 times to make sure that it's gonna say the right thing. And that's what I do. And I've always had an exhaustive approach, because I think about in every way that it can be read and how it could be interpreted.
So I was wondering, you know, there's an exhibit. So what is actually in that exhibit? That was at the conference, but we'll be opening at Wonderoot on Saturday.
So the toolkit that you spoke about, it had documentation materials. And by that, we mean different kinds of paper and drawing or writing utensils, markers, charcoal, things like that. And they were encouraged, there were also disposable cameras, and the participants were encouraged to document their meeting as they saw fit. So one pair took one of the disposable cameras and filled it up entirely with this sign that said, "Be visible," that they had made out of the paper and markers. And they just did different scenarios of them holding the sign. And it spoke a lot about what their conversation was in a sort of metaphorical sense. So the exhibit is of those materials, and some of them are more literal, like they would write notes and bullet points like from a meeting, or it would be like a story that they wrote. We also have audio recordings that people can listen to. We'll also have a setup so that people can participate in a Percolate type meeting themselves and contribute. Importantly, Percolate has another phase where we will be able to put these conversations into actual programming, and part of that is to continue the conversation, but also to imbue them with the kind of support to take it further. And so, you know, I think that this whole initiative really speaks to Wonderoot's belief in conversation as action, but there's always other things that you can do to further that.
That's an interesting, our Wonderoot's philosophy, that's an interesting way to put it, because I think this is one thing with art, depending on what the art is, a lot of art can start conversation, but I often wonder, it's like, what can art do beyond that?
I mean, I think it's based on the individual or the group, someone's own initiative to start or take some conversation. You know, you got dreamers and doers. Mm. So people having conversations that take forth action, they're doers. And that's some people's role. Some people's roles are just to have conversations. And I don't negate the power of conversation, because if it enlightens, if you're a dreamer and your conversation ignites a doer, then you've done your job. Like, you've literally, that was your action, and it inspired someone else to take it the next step. And I think conversation is part of the process. I think that art in itself is action, if you mean it to be action. I'm really interested in creatives in Atlanta to be very intentional about taking their art and making it action-oriented. And you do have that, and that's really beautiful. And it's not necessarily just a mural on the wall either, which does, that inspires other people. But there's a lot of other things that I'm sure creative folks can come up with as artists.
I think also this program sort of turns on its head the linear relationship that conversation and art and action have, in that it's often framed as you see a piece and then you speak about how you're interpreting that piece, and then maybe that conversation is carried elsewhere or the work is revised or something like that. But this is sort of starting from a back end where the conversation is happening first. And I think that elevates, as Sarah said, the sort of intentionality behind whatever work comes forward from that. But it also, I think, elevates the sort of importance of human connection, mm-hmm. and that it's not just community, but it's relationships that allow this work to happen. And it's really, especially I think in terms of racial justice, integral that people have support.
And if I could piggyback off of that, I think at the end of the day, these are relationships that didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And now they are possibly and easily relationships that continue that wouldn't have existed without this project coming together. And we have to see that as action. I mean, it's making your mm-hmm. your separation of six smaller, and no telling what can come out of, organically come out of, just meeting in a coffee shop to talk mm-hmm. about, yes, an important issue, but just having a date with somebody. And it's infinite. Its possibilities are infinite.
Thank you all for coming in and talking about Percolate.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.